And our first Sunday of 2021 will be Sunday, January the 3rd. I'm looking forward to preaching that morning and really just challenging our church as we begin a brand new year. And I know you're looking forward to a new year and what God has in store for us. Let me encourage you to make church attendance a priority in the new year. And every year I usually talk about that, about this time or about as we begin a new year. And one thing that you'll discover if you're not during that time that we did not have church in person, or maybe you've not been able to attend in person yet, it's so much more than just the tuning in for the actual songs or the worship. It's that face-to-face. It's the community, the sense of community, and the encouragement that we get from being in church. And let me encourage you to make that a priority in 2021, and hopefully as things continue to prove, even more of you will be able to make it back in person. If you're tuning in for the first time today online, welcome, and we look forward to meeting you in the future in person. And I'm praying that 2021 is our greatest year yet. We're wrapping up this year, and I want to take a moment to reflect on 2020. I promise you this is going to be a shorter message than normal, and my kids are thrilled, and they're excited right now. They'll give me critique from time to time, and I need it. But 2020 was definitely one for the books. I think we can all agree that none of us saw any of that coming the way that it ended up shaping up as a year. And I saw a meme that showed a candle of 2020, and it was a port-a-john that was on fire, and said, if this doesn't describe 2020. And so what did the year look like for you? For some of us, it was a great year. You did great health-wise. I've talked to people that said that the quality family time that they have had this year was incredible, and they enjoyed that quality family time and time spent at home, and kind of sports, school, everything kind of grounded to a halt for a moment, and really gave families time to be together, to encourage one another, to do things that really matter in this life. And I think we can all agree that it was one for the record books. But you know, some discovered that you could work from home, and you found a new normal, and maybe you don't want to go back to the office as things have reopened. Some have enjoyed virtual schooling, and they're excelling in that. Some have gotten married this year. Some have had babies this year. We've had babies in our church I haven't even seen yet, just because of when they were born and not being able to get out and all of that. For some, though, 2020 was a year of losses. And you're looking back over the year, and all you see are things that were lost. Maybe loved ones, maybe it was health, maybe it was a job, or your friends and the ability to mingle with them in school. This morning, I want us to take a few short minutes and look at the Word of God and maybe gain a right attitude about where we are and then where we're going. And in less than a week, we'll be excitedly ringing in a brand new year. And what does God want us to learn from this current year, from 2020? What can we take with us besides the port-a-john scented candle? What can we take with us as we go forward that maybe God wants to use to encourage us in this new year? So this morning we're going to take our text. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 6 through verse 11. And I'll encourage you to just meditate on this passage this morning. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." He says, "Casting all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you." He says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful." He says, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Peter is encouraging us in this race called life. And there will be obstacles along the road of life. There will be uphill battles. There will be deep valleys. There will be mountaintop experiences. But the good thing about the race is, we don't have to do it alone. And that's a beautiful thing if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He desires to be with us every single step of the way and to direct our path, to light the path, to give us wisdom and for the future and what it has for us. The good thing about that race is that we aren't navigating it by ourselves. And if you know the Lord is your Savior, His Holy Spirit empowers us to be the follower of Christ that He's called us to be, to live the victorious Christian life. So let's unpack our text this morning. He says, He begins by challenging us to humble ourselves. This is not something that comes natural or easy in the Christian life. In fact, humility is something that Christ set an example. He came as a humble servant and was obedient even the death of the cross, the Word of God says. But it encourages us to be humble. And in life groups, we always challenge people to use I statements. I, me, my. I need to humble myself. Make it personal. And so I need to learn how to humble myself before God, recognizing that I don't have all the answers. I need Him desperately. He reminds us that when I humble myself, God will do the exalting in His own timing. See, what happens is when we do that ourselves, we leave no room for the Holy Spirit of God to work in and through us. We're trying to make stuff happen on our own. It reminds me of Matthew 20, verse 16. It says, so the last will be first, and the first last. When we get out of the way, God exalts us in His own way, in His own time. And folks, His ability to move us into the places that He wants us to be is far greater than anything that you and I can manufacture on our own. Verse 6 reminds us, He says, cast all of your anxieties on Him, all of the cares of this life. He says we can fully release and give to the God who can. He says He is much more than capable of handling these things than we can on our own. And how do we know He can handle them? Because He is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Verse 6 reminds us that He cares for us. He cares about every need, every struggle, every anxiety, every trouble, every trial that you're facing. All of these things, you can bear your anxieties before His throne and leave them there entirely because the Word of God says He cares for us. Isn't that comforting today? Isn't that encouraging this morning? Verse 6 is an encouragement to all of us. He cares about every single need that you and I face in this life. So when we face struggles, you're not alone. Jesus Christ cares. I love how verse 8 says that. He says, I learned this verse as a kid. He says, be sober-minded, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Don't you love when you know what to expect sometimes when you're coming into it? Maybe it's a new job, maybe it's a new school, a new year of class, maybe in college, and you're not exactly sure what to expect. But sometimes when someone gives you kind of the 411, they give you the underlying story behind something, and this is what you're going to walk into. This is what it's going to be like as a college freshman. You go into that, maybe that orientation, and they begin to explain the details of what it means to be a college freshman or a high school freshman, and you're going through all those things. He says, be sober-minded. Be watchful. He says, the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, and he's trying to devour you. He's trying to destroy you. So it's much easier to navigate life when we know that the devil is seeking to destroy us. The Word of God tells us that he's a liar. He will destroy each one of us if we give him room to work in our lives. And it reminds me of a passage here in James chapter 4, just a few pages earlier in the New Testament. It says, God opposes the proud, he says, but gives grace to the humble. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I love that passage because it gives a clear remedy for the struggle that we face in this life. When the Lord tells us, he says, he opposes the proud, so humble yourselves. The same thing he's saying over in verse 8 of our text. He says, resist the devil, he'll flee, and draw near to God, and he will also draw near to us. So whatever our cares, our struggles, our trials are in this life, he says, if we'll resist the devil and humble ourselves, draw near to God, He will meet us in our area of struggle, and He'll give us the strength to overcome the temptations that Satan has placed in our lives. This passage is a mirror to that very text that we just read. And if we humble ourselves, if we're sober, if we're watchful, we can be victorious in the day in which He's called us to live holy lives. This helps us to develop the right attitude and perspective about what God wants to accomplish in and through you. Look at verse 9. He says, resist him. In other words, don't give place to the devil. He says, firm in your faith. This is not the time to sway away or to draw away from church or kind of say, you know what, I can just kind of tune in online from now on. I don't really need the local church body. No, we need it more than ever. In fact, Hebrews says, so much the more as we see the day approaching of Christ's return. He says, remain firm in your faith. He gives us some encouragement. He says, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood around the world. The universal church today definitely knows about persecution. Throughout church history, there are countless stories about those who have suffered because of their faith. And the Church of Jesus Christ is going to suffer great trials. We haven't seen a whole lot of that here in the United States. I believe we're going to see more of that in the coming days and maybe coming years. I have a book in my office called The Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it's one of the most challenging and difficult books to pick up because it's not going to leave you encouraged in the sense of like, wow, this is like a story of great victory and overcoming trials. No, it's the stories of people who gave their lives for their faith because of living for Jesus Christ. Many of them, or most all of them, were killed for their faith. And it's their story, and it's encouraging in a sense that God gave them the ability to stand firm in their faith. But yet it's also a struggle knowing that these are stories of death. They're the story, but it's not the end. For the believer, Paul says, this is just the beginning. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He's saying that's a win for the cause of Christ. Verse 10 says, and after you have suffered a while, in other words, when we're going through that suffering, don't think this is the end. He says, after we suffered for a while, he says, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. The God of all grace, he says, will restore us. Remember the story of Job, all of the losses that he faced, and yet God restored him once again in the end. He says, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. He says, you and I don't have to live this life in fear of tomorrow, of the future, and worry over the past. He says, God will establish us. He will take care of us. He restores us. He confirms. He strengthens. The God of all grace will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And what does all that mean? He will make all things right in his own way, in his own time. I love that because sometimes, and even my own kids have said, why does it seem like the people who are living, you know, wicked lives, the people that are out there that don't love God, that don't love his church, it always seems like they're getting ahead. It always seems like that they're succeeding in this life. And I said, you know what? I've told them, I said, unless they accept Christ as their Savior, this is all of the heaven they'll ever know or experience. But for those that know Christ as their Savior, we're just temporarily traveling through this land. This is not our home. Heaven is our home if you know Christ as your Savior. And so it's an encouragement to know, he says, one day God will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish. He'll take care of make all things whole and new again. The God of all grace will take care of every need. And this morning, you and I can count on that. So what's the application? He wraps up in the last verse in verse 11. He says, to him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. What that word dominion means is just to be him be strength, power, and might forever. When we follow the word of God, you and I can have the right attitude as we leave 2020, the year of 2020, as we embark on 2021, we can do so with confidence, knowing that God has a purpose and plan that He's perfecting in our lives. I love this statement from Chuck Swindoll, a pastor for many, many years. Many of you probably heard him on the radio at different times. It says, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life." He says, "Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do." He says, "It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill." He says, "It will take, it will make or break a company, a church, or a home." The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude that we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string that we have, and that's our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. I want to leave 2020 with the right attitude and glean from it the things that God wants us to understand, to appreciate, to love, to be grateful and thankful for, even the trials. But let's choose to have a good attitude as we wrap up the year and let God have the dominion, the strength, the power and might as we embark on a new year. My prayer is that for each one of us, as we leave this year behind, we accept the things that we cannot change and move forward with God's strength and power as we prepare for a new year, that God might do what He has accomplished and what He has planned for us in the coming days. Praying for peace, praying for good health, praying for safety, praying for wisdom. Pray that God would give each of us the strength to make disciples of Jesus Christ in this new year and impact His kingdom like never before. I love you, church family. I want to close in prayer this morning. And let me encourage you, January 3rd, make plans to be present in church on January 3rd. Let's pray that God gives us the greatest year of ministry and opportunity to impact our city and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, thank You for the privilege that we have to come and worship You, Lord. As we wrap up 2020, God, we are asking and believing, God, that You're going to do even greater things in the new year. God, we ask that You would encourage us, Lord, the things, the failures, Lord, the defeats, Lord, the struggles that we face, the losses that we've experienced. God, somehow we know that You work all of those things together for our good and ultimately for Your glory. And God, we accept that by faith. Maybe we don't understand it, but we believe and accept Your purpose and Your plan for our lives. God, this morning as we prepare for a new year, God, may You give us the strength as we move forward with Your power, with Your strength and Your might. God, may You do great and mighty things, Lord, which we cannot imagine. Lord, as we approach the new year, give us a greater burden for reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep us safe, and God, until we gather back together in person on the 3rd, Lord, we ask for Your safety and for peace in our land. God, we love You. We praise You in advance for what You're going to accomplish in Your precious name. Amen. We love you, church family. We will see you on January 3rd, 2021.